Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Radio Land. This is your host again for this morning. My name is Dr. June Normeal, and I'm here today to give you another teaching moment of God's word. I'd like to give honor to God for allowing me to come before you today. And I thank God for the opportunity of you have taken the time to listen, to enhance, to apply what God's going to give us today, our daily bread, to be able to enhance our lives, our lifestyles, to God to be glorified in it. And we thank God for that. And I also want to give thanks to the CEO of Broadcast, Breakthrough Broadcast, and Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. I thank God for her also for opening the doors to be able to have this word proclaimed throughout the world. And Lord, we just thank you. And I want to just give you prayer this morning before I go into the teaching moment. God, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for allowing me, God, to be your ambassador, God, to come before your people, God, to give them words, God, that you have given us, God. God, that we'll be able to know you in a better way, God. God, for people to be able to see you when they see us, God. God, we thank you in advance of what's going to take place. We thank you, God, for the seed, God, that is being planted today, God. We thank you, God, for the water, God, that will go on these seeds. And most of all, God, we thank you, God, for the increase that will come upon each and every listener ear, God, and their hearts, God, to listen to this word today. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And again, my name is Dr. June Normill, and we're going to be concluding our series of understanding the principles, privilege, and power of prayer. We already concluded the principles and privilege, and today we will be expounding on the power of prayer, understanding the power of prayer. So I'm giving you time to go and get your iPad, get your tape recorders, get anything you need, your paper, your pencil, get your Bibles, your phone, anything you'll be able to write down or record that will cause you to be able to retain, be able to go back and study, to listen to some of the information God is going to give us today. Amen. Amen. And this last series, we'll be talking about the power of prayer. And what does prayer mean? Prayer is simply means talking with God. It means we're communicating with God. That means we're dialoguing with God. We're talking to God. God is talking back to us. We listen and God talk, God speak, and we listen. And during that procedure, we have a conversation. We communicate with each other. Then we'll know what is expected. We'll know where each other is coming from, and we'll be able to get our prayers answered simply by that, talking to God. God listen to us, and we'll see the fruit of our prayers. But not only that, there are certain tools that need to be used in our prayers that God would call our prayers to be more effective. But God will answer, because God is what? A God answering God. And God chooses, and he loves answering his children's prayers. But it's certain things that we are accountable of doing, something we are responsible of doing to assure that our prayers will be answered. And know that we are praying the prayers that God has given us, the kind of prayers that God answers. Amen. Not just things that we desire, things that we say, things that we want that's not in God's will. So we're going to talk about the power of prayer. And power is defined as having the ability to do something or act in a particular way. That means we have the ability to do it. That means, but we're what? We have a choice. We could do it the way we want to do it. We have the power to do that. We have the ability to do that. But we know what? That we are limited. We are limited beings, and we can't do everything. We can't in our own power. We have so far that we could go. So we want to get the kind of power that God has. God has that dunamis power, that power. And a lot of times people use the word dunamis loosely. You know, they translate it to just like strength, power, or ability. You know, it comes from the root word like saying something dynamite, something big, like a big bang, a big sound. But we want to get to the place that we know that dunamis in God is like, it's more than just having the ability. It is not just, you know, having the power to do something, your choice and your will, but it's miraculous power. It's that kind of power that you know only person could do that is God. And that's where we're going to get a place in our prayers, that we know that when a prayer has been answered, we know that God could have done it. Nobody could answer that prayer like God answered that prayer. It was because of God's power. It was because of his might. And again, right now, we're going to see, and I'm giving you scriptures that we're going to be coming from. We're going to be coming from Matthew 21 and 22, John 15, 7. We're also going to be coming from 1 John 5, 14 through 15. And we'll be coming through other little scriptures, too, besides that. And I just give you time later to follow up with that. So right now, let's turn our Bibles, or let's come to our place where we'll be coming from Matthew 21, 22. And it says, "And all things whatsoever ye ask, shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." Read it again. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." And you said, it's just that simple? I'm going to read a little ahead more than that to get you to understanding where God was coming from when he said that, okay? Starting from, let me see, from Matthew 21, I'm going to start from verse 18. It says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it," that's Jesus talking. Whenever you see red writing in the Bible, in the scriptures, that means Jesus is talking, self is talking. And he said unto it, this Jesus talking to the tree, he said, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever." And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" In other words, they said, "You just said that, Jesus. And the tree withered away. How did it happen that fast?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, this Jesus talking, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which has done to the fig, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be unto thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye should have it." Right there, it's showing you right then that Jesus was hungry. He saw fig trees, and the fig tree was not what? Producing. The fig trees did not have anything or believe or no figs on it. So Jesus said, "I have no use for you. But now on, you're just going to be destroyed, you were withered away, and nobody eat after you from now on because you was not producing. You wasn't doing what you're supposed to do." And the same thing with us in prayer. A lot of times we don't get our prayers through sometimes because we're not producing what needs to be in us to produce it. We're not coming with the right tools in prayer. And inside this tool that needs to be used in this prayer is what? The tool of faith. Because in verse 24, he said, "And it shall all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." That you got to believe what you're praying for. You got to believe in the beginning that it's going to come to pass. What you're asking for, that you got to believe that you're going to have it, receive it for it happen. What is faith? In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but evidence of things not seen." The things that you are hoping for, the things that you are praying for, the things that you don't see, believe that you have them before you see it. Believe that you have them before you see it. It's like, just use like a child asking their parents to give them a specific gift for Christmas. You can't remember asking your parent for a specific gift for Christmas. And guess what? After that child asked that parent what they want for Christmas, They threw with it. It's sometimes it all went to the place that your parent or someone probably told you, write a list. We call ourselves writing a list of Santa Claus. We wrote a little list down, and we wrote down anything we want, our little heart desire, on that list. And after that, we went on our little merry way, being children. That childlike faith. Being children, we walked away just in expectation, knowing that when Christmas comes, we was going to get that gift. We knew we was going to get that gift simply because that's what we had requested for. We told our parents we want, We wrote it down on some paper, and we even want to get what we call Santa Claus a bonus. We want to leave him some cookies and milk, because we didn't know he's gonna bring us that gift. We gonna get us some cookies out there, cake, milk, all kind of things out there. Nice little special in there, because we had just that kind of faith, knowing we're gonna get that gift. But that's the kind of same faith we need to have when we pray our prayers to God, when we request our petition to God. We gotta have that same kind of faith, because think about it, even the words say in Matthew 7:11, if we being evil, talking about us as being people, talking about even our parents who we thought, even Santa Claus, whatever we put in place, being evil, if we could have that much faith knowing that they can give us a good gift, how much more would our Heavenly Father give us when we do what we want, when we ask him? Because it's his pleasure to give his children good gifts. God loves giving us good gifts. He loves answering our prayers. But what? Same requirements that was mandated and on a child when we was little, it tells us what? You got to be good. You got to be good or not. If you're naughty, what? You won't get anything. But God is not like that. I'm just using that as like a little metaphor example. Knowing as you're good, you what? You got good gifts. They say, have you been good or have you been not bad? Same thing with us in the spiritual realm. What kind of prayers are we praying? We praying prayers just for ourselves to get good gifts, right? It's all right, because God desires to give us good gifts. But what kind of tools have we been using? What kind of seed has we been planting? Is it been good seed? Has it been bad seeds we've been planting? If we planted good seeds, what? We reap good seeds. That's our harvest to be. We reap what we sow. Same thing with that. And that was God just telling us, even in Matthew 21:22, anything you believe, you have to believe you receive it before you even ask for it, and you'll receive that. But it comes with your faith. You have to believe that, and it comes with what? Doing good things, doing the right thing, doing the right thing. No one wants to be rewarded good for doing bad. Or be spent at the time, because we want to be justification and something we done bad. But what? You done something right, you done something good, you doing what's told you to do. So what? You expect to be getting a good reward for that. And the same thing in that prayer, God loves giving us the good reward. He loves giving us our heart's desire. He loves giving us and preparing things to us before we even ask. He knows we have need of, but we have to have faith to believe it. And it's just not only just using in things and material things, anything you may be believing God for, even you have to believe it. I can remember myself as a testimony when I had severe bite problems. My bite hurt so bad. It hurt for a long time. And you know why I kept hurting as long as it did? Because I kept confessing my bite hurt. And literally, it was a fact that my bite was hurting. That's a fact. But the truth is, the Word of God said we are healed by what? We are healed by Jesus Christ. We already healed. But as long as I kept confessing my bite was hurting, guess what? My bite was hurting. And then I was thinking about laying in the bed because my back was hurting, speaking at that time. And I was just thinking, I said, dog, my back hurt so bad. And I said it to God. I said, God, you got to do something about my back. And just as clear, God said, no, you have to do something about your back. I'm doing something. What's going on with your back is what you're confessing, what you got faith, what you're saying. Your back is hurting, so what? That's how much power we have in what we say. And we got to believe it. And I had enough power to say my back was hurting, what? Because in the natural, I was feeling my back hurting. But after God brought that to my attention, I stopped saying that my back was hurting. I laid my hands on my same hands that I was laying on other people, praying the prayer of faith for them to be healed or delivered, and they was. And I was speaking damnation on myself, and I was getting just what I was saying. But then when I started laying hands on myself and saying that my back doesn't hurt and say that I'm healed, guess what? Just that quick, my back was healed, and I didn't even realize it until later. The pain was gone, but I just seen myself getting up normally or walking, bending, and saying, oh, my back don't hurt no more. I have just that quick. And I said that to say this, that just how quick it was when Jesus, when he prayed about that fig tree, because the disciple was, you know, they marveled. They was astounded, like, okay, you just prayed that, and the tree really just that quick. Same thing. We can have that same kind of result if our faith activates just that quickly. Same thing. Amen? So we have to know, even in Matthew 21:22, we have what we believe in when we pray. It is the tool of faith. We have to believe what we are saying in faith. Amen? Let's go to John 15 and 7. That's another we're going to go to, John 15 and 7. We'll read that scripture. And it's found on that. In John 15 and 7, it said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall have what you will. It shall be done unto you. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, and ye ask what ye will, and it shall be done. Another scripture, in that scripture, Jesus himself is talking. He's saying abiding in him. This is another tool that we have to exercise and to see the power of prayer being manifest. It's in John 15:7. And I'm going to read a little above that, because a lot of times you read a certain scripture, you have to just read a before and after that scripture to get a kind of understanding what is being said. And this is scripture in chapter 15. It's talking about the true vine, talking about true vine. And I'm going to start reading from verse number 4 in chapter 15. You can start reading on your own time from the first verse, but I'm going to just start from 4 and read on down to number 7. This John 15, verse 4 up to 7. And it said, abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except be abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abide in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 7, we're going to expound on that, talking about abiding in Jesus, talking about the power of prayer, how to get our prayers through, how to get our prayers answered, and to see the miraculous work of the dominus power of Jesus manifesting to us. That verse right there is telling us, the two in that verse is telling us what? Stay connected to the true vine. And the true vine is Jesus. And it talks about, even in verse 1, say, I am the true vine. That's Jesus talking, say, and my Father is the husband. And that is talking about God being the husband. And I'm telling you, we can't get to God as we go through Jesus. It's always going to be that connection. And even have our prayers answered, our connection, we're going to have to be abided in Christ. We got to. There's no way around it. That's the only way we're going to be able to vine. That's the only way we get our strength in. If you look at a vine or a plant in the natural, you see every leaf. You see a leaf that's on that branch and that vine hanging off a leaf. It'd be a long vine. And you see the leaves off the little branches. Leaves represent the little branches in there. If you see them flourishing, you see them color, you see them strong, that is because what? They are connected. They are connected to that vine, that true vine. That's Jesus. They connect to it. And when you see yourself still being strong in things, your prayers are being answered, and you want things to go your way, if in accordance to God's will, that's because you what? You are connected. We are connected to that true vine. Not any kind of vine, because you see some vines too. You see some vines where they don't rotten. You don't rot, and you see the leaves that's on the vines, what? You see those rotten, because that's not the true vine. Something is with something poison, some toxin have been through that vine, and it causes everything to be attached to that poison vine not to produce. You got to die and wither. But that's how that in Christ, we will never die and wither. We will never die and wither, because he is a true living vine, and as long as we stay connected to him, we'll be able to survive. We'll be able to live. We'll be able to get our prayer through. And a lot of times, I gave you the definition of the word power, say having the ability to do something or act in a particular way. We have the power to do that because God has given it. So what we use in this way, and power is saying we have the will. He has given us a will. We could stay connected if we choose to because of what he wants to do, but we have that will. And God showed me in this metaphor about the vine, how he sees, how he wants to do. Have you ever seen, we're talking about the power source to getting our prayers answered. We have the ability to pray. We can do things on our own, but when we pray a lot of times, I'm just saying there could be a hindrance to us getting our answer to our prayers. When we pray, we praying on our own. We have the ability to do it. We may be not praying the right prayer, the right motive behind the prayer, may not pray in Jesus' name, not praying for Jesus to answer the prayer. We might be praying selfish prayers. It could be something hindering us from not getting that prayer answer. Because if it's God's will not to answer certain prayer, we pray, what happened? We want to be in that God's will, so we don't mind about that because we know God knows what's best. But when we know things that prayers that God could be glorified in, is something hindrance, because sometimes we do it on our own. We doing our own prayer. Sometimes we may have the wrong motive behind it, and God not going to answer that prayer. And he showed me this metaphor about it's something simple. It's just like changing a tire. We be able to change a tire. And can you remember? And it happened now. You can see what a person for to change a tire. You can do it yourself, okay? And what we do, they have is called a lug wrench. It's the iron bar. It's shaped like a cross. What an individual would do would get that lug wrench, and they would put it on those lug nuts. And that's what's inside the tire, hold the tires together. And you ever seen a person trying to take their lug nuts off, especially way back in the day before everything. Now things just upgraded, you know, computerized, all kind of things. But way back in the day, but some people still doing things on their own. They still praying on their own, going in their own name. They still doing things like getting the power source from Jesus to get that prayer. So they got that love nut, love wrench, and instead of trying to put them on those love nuts inside that truck, on that wheel or that car, and they struggling trying to get it off, get that tire off. And that's just like trying to get that prayer through. You're struggling trying to get it, and you can't get it because your ability, and that's what we talk about, the difference between Dunamis' power and our ability, our power. Sometimes you just ain't got enough strength to get that tire off because you're not strong enough. You weak. That's why some of our prayers could be weak. It's not strong enough. We ain't got the right strength. Our strength is limited. We ain't got the ultimate strength. But we talk about the doomish power of a prayer. We talking about God's power. We talking about the miraculous power. That's why when you see a person trying to get that Lord wrench off and get them nuts off, they don't scuff up, they don't base back. 5 hours trying to get one tire off, then because it was one thing, they was weak, they weren't strong enough. Same thing that prayer, we didn't got no word in us, we ain't praying, we ain't fasting, we ain't spending time with God. We see ourselves using that manual love race. That means we using ourselves, we use our own ability to get that love race, to get that tire off. Same thing is by the prayer, we using our own self, we just coming to God, just begging. And just asking for things, not even coming in reverence, not even come humble. The same thing, how we use that manual little wrench to try to get that prayer, get that tire off. But the other side of that, it's a difference. It's when instead of you using a manual means ourself, our own ability. Now, if we don't came in with Christ, we are a believer, we have been given opportunity, we have been given the blessings, the authority. We got, now we want to get the tower of what we'll do. We get our prayer. We'll come in some electrical power. We'll come with the mighty power of God. We're not coming our own power, just a manual hand, rich, trying to get it off, scuffing and can't get it off, because we ain't got enough ability. We ain't got enough power. And we ain't coming right. We doing it the old way. That's what we used to do before we came until 2019, when they got cordless electrical wrenches now, that you could just, when you go to a car now, to a place to get a towel, you hit that little screw they have on their hand. It's something they got, some called cordless wrenches, electrical wrenches, because of what? They hooked up to the power source, and you got some that you could plug it in. You plug those cords in, and you can plug it in the wall, and what happened? You get power. And they make it easier for you because you ain't doing it. You let the power source come through. Same thing with God. We go with God the right way in prayer. We just put that same cordless love wrench the court is now. We ain't talking about the manual. We're doing that. So we got God. We're going through God. We're going the right way through prayer. We're going in Jesus' name. And that thing, you ever seen they kick them tires off on the lug nuts off them tires now? That thing say, just that quick, and it's off. Same thing as how God want to use us inside our prayer life. It's time for us to use the power source and God, let God use it, not going to our ability. And what we do is the way to go in God. And that means staying abiding in Christ. We got to stay in the abiding of Christ and have that electrical power that's come from God, the Holy Ghost power, to be plugged into what we're asking for, to be able to get that prayer answer, to get released and released. And one thing that's required of the branches, one thing that's required of us is being branches, connect to the vine, which is Jesus, in order for fruit to be produced, in order for our prayers to come to reality, is for what? One thing required is us to stay abide. If we stay abide in Christ, our fruit will come through. Our prayers will be answered. Stay abide to Jesus. And the only way that the Lord, only thing that he requires from us as being branches is for us to rest in him. He wants to rest in him. And that way, and draw our life and strength from him. That's all we do. We got to stay connected. The longer we're connected with him, that means if we abide in him, and he abide in us, that means what? What's in us is Christ. What's in us is Christ. And what the prayers that we pray is what? The kind of prayers that God would pray. The kind of prayers that Jesus would pray. We won't be praying fleshly and things that God won't answer and won't recognize. Because what? He's in us. He's in him. He's in us. So we be able to be produced, be able to get it. We have to stay connected to the power source. Just like we no longer going to be our own ability, using the old way. What we did before we came across a love wrench, scuffling trying to get a will off, scuffling trying to get a prayer through. When God had already given us the methods, he always gives the tools of how to get the prayer through, how to get that tie off easy. We ain't got to do the work. All day we have to do just what? Abide in him. Because we don't have to work hard for something that's already done. We already know that we've been praying so long and we know what to do. And so another thing too, we could see even people in the Bible who they prayed, they stayed connected. What? They stayed connected with God and they had different types of prayer and stuff. But if you stay connected with God, your prayer will go through. And the closer we abide to the vine, the more his life can flow through us. And we can produce fruit, and we have desires of the prayers that we've been asking of him. Because God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. But he depends on people. He depends on the body of Christ, the children of God, the believers. He depends upon that. He wants us to do that. And another thing is turn to John, 1 John 14:15. 1 John 14 and 15, we're going to go talk about, see another way how God wants to get our prayer through, another tool we have to use. We ain't going to keep doing that manual, build our own ability to try to make these things happen when God and Jesus already made the way for us. John, 1 John 14 and 15, it reads, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Verse 15, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him." 1 John 5:14-15, talking about the confidence that we have in Christ. If we ask anything according to his will, the Bible didn't say we ask some things. Certain things, it said if we ask anything, but guess what? According to his will, we have to know if we ask anything, we can't. The Bible is so simply said. We make things maybe like misinterpreted or try to make it harder, like it's just too good to be true. We can't, but it's just that simple. The Bible says we ask anything according to his will. We have to know who his will is. Who is his will? We talk about God. God. According to God's will. What he hears us. What is God's will? That's the question. What is God's will? When we know what the will of God is, we'll be able to ask anything and get it. Because God is not going to go outside of his will. He's not going to answer a prayer, any prayer for anybody, if it's not in his will. His will is true. His will is right. His will is just. You know what his will is? His will is what? His word. The word of God from Revelation to Genesis, anything in between, that is the will of God. Whether you see evil situations in the Bible, where you see positive things, the evil thing is talking about you will know what not to do, because you see the consequences and we see the results of all the evil and all the good. That's the will of God, the word of God. He said if we hear it, he said he heareth us. When you see heareth, H-E-A-R-E-T-H, that T-H on the end, that means he continually. That means it continually, he continually hear us, not just hear us or heard us. That's a one time or past tense. He heareth us. I mean, he continues to hear us. If we ask anything according to his will. So the more we read and eat that word, the more we breathe that word, the more we sleep that word, we'll know how to mature in our prayer life. And we say, oh, I know that's God's will. And I know God's going to give me what I ask for because I'm praying according to his will. We got to know God's will. Amen. But then we got to also know God's sovereignty too. We know that anything, because sometimes we ask things we don't even know what we ask, and we thinking about it for different reasons. But if whatever reason, if you want to have it override God's will, sometimes you can ask for things it's not God's will for the have, but because we ask, we'll get it, but we deal with the consequence, and it may not be as good to us as we thought it was. But God grant us that because we're the right standards to do it. So that's why he don't override our will, because when things, the consequence of things happen, we can't blame God. Like, I'm just saying, like Abraham, who was it? Moses, not Moses, who was it blame God? Abraham. No, I'm sorry, so many in the Bible did so many things, like Moses told God, your people, and it's so many, but like Adam and Eve, that's what it was. Like Adam said, this wife you gave me. You gave me, that's the reason why I did the sin. We won't have to go to God and say, okay, God, because you, that's why this happened, because you gave me this sin. He gave us our own will to choose. Even in the beginning, they knew what's right or wrong. You know what she put out there. I don't know what they supposed not did. Same thing for Moses. We try to justify. He know what he ain't supposed to do. He supposed to spoke to the rock. He ain't supposed to hit it. We all sometimes try to find justification for what we did with the consequences when we don't walk and do the will of God, when we do our own will. Amen. But God said he would give us everything we need. We got to go according to his will. Amen. So, but it's a difference between God's will and our desire. You know, God's will is his word. And you probably say, dog, but our desire should always line up with God's will. If we go according to the word, it's going to always line up if we go according to the word. Therefore, we could know that God will back up our prayers, and he will give us the desires of our heart. And you could always find it. And they say, how can I find God? It's in the will. In Psalms 47, it say what? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. It's in the word of God, is his will. Same thing, you also can find that in Hebrews 10:7, they quote the same scripture. I'm found in the volume of a book. And even in Psalms, they're talking about the scroll. That's the word of God, the volume of a book. He said, I'm found in the volume. It's written of me. You can do that. That's my will. So we know we have to abide in Christ. We know we got to have faith, the kind of faith that God is talking about. And also we got to know the will of God. Those are tools we have to use to get that power source to be connected to get our prayers answered. No more using that manual, our own ability to try to come to God in our own way and go around coming in the name of Jesus, because our name means nothing. We can't come in our own name. God, this is June. I come to you. I want this. No. We have tools we have to use. We're going to go through the power source. We're going to go through to get our prayers through Jesus, through his power. We're going to get that miraculous power. Because my little spirit only goes so far. I know I can't get it using the manual, doing the prayer, manual prayer now without using Christ in it. I can't get nothing off. Amen? And neither can you. So we're going to go to another scripture. We're going to go to the one, since God talking about the power of prayer. And it's so in so many prayers and so many versions of the Bible, talking about prayer, so many scriptures talking about prayer and getting prayers answered. And a lot of times what we see like it still does not get an answer. And it's reason, but we have to just stay connected to the vine and know God is still God. And we're going to go to Chronicles 7:14, and we're going to talk about the power of prayer. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 declares, says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Scripture right there, talking to believers, talking to my, no longer just talking to me as an individual, just saying I'm just part of it, but we're talking about what a nation can do, talking about God's people in general. If we could just get on one mind and one accord, talking about what they can do. This scripture is calling for all the true believers of God to stand up boldly and to bow down humbly in prayer. If we want to see a breakthrough in America, our home, our school, etc., God has given us the authority and power through prayer. But there are tools of prayer that must be used. And we got to do it God's way. We got to use it God's way, their way. And even in Matthew 18 and 19, it talks about if two agree as touching anything that they should ask, it shall be done to them by God. If two or three is gathered in the midst of God, he's there. Jesus said two or three gather together his name. It's talking about nation. It's talking about more than one person. You can do it as an individual, but it's so much power. So much doing the power when we come in Jesus' name, do it the way God say. When we talk about the nation, even in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it say if my people. He didn't say if one person, if this person said my people, talking to believers. If we just humble ourselves, he's saying that because we must be now walking in humility. A tool is what? Being humble. We have to pray. It say and pray. And seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. That means being wickedness in the believer. His people are being wicked. Just with the word saying, if you're going to say that. So he's saying, when those things are vanished away, he said, then we'll hear from heaven and will forgive our sins, all that negative stuff, forgive all of that, and he will heal our land. We'll see a difference in our lives. We'll see a difference in our homes. We'll see a difference in our neighborhood. If we do those things that God called us to be his people, because one could put 1,000, two could put 10,000 to flight. So we have to just do things in unity. We be on one mind, one accord, because even in 1 John 3:22 and 23, it talks about whatsoever we ask in prayer, we receive it because we keep his commandments and because we do the things that please him in his sight. We do the thing that please him in his sight. I mean, we have to do his commandments, that means obey his word. And we have to do things, we have to be loving. And you think about, you read that scripture, it's talking about, we have to not just talk about we are Christians and we love people. We have to genuinely show love to people. We have to be kind to people. We got to help other people. We can't be selfish. God wants us to be able to get our prayers answered by all these little things, these different tools, they seem like... These little things I'm saying now, the simple thing is individual, but it could be a little leaven that spoils the whole lump. Those simple little things, it calls the whole nation to what? To be in chaos. If we just one little simple thing, if we can't look at it that way, and if one little simple thing could cause it to be that way, we got to know improving or just replacing that one negative thing to something positive. I give you beauty for ashes. I just use that. We give God beauty for all the ashes, the ashes of the negative stuff. It'll make a difference. And we can't say that because one prayer, one person can change the whole nation. We have to be in do it God's way. We want to go through the power source because we've been going so long and too long just doing the manual way. That means the ability to do what we could do manually with our own hands. And it's not strong enough. It ain't got enough power. It only goes so far. But God Jesus has the ultimate power. He has all power. That's why we have to stay connected with him. We have to stay connected to him as being branches on that vine, that strong, healthy vine. As long as we're strong, I mean, we'll stay strong, we stay connected with him. We have to read our word to get our prayers through. We stay connected to him. We will want to read our word. We will want to fast. We will want to pray. We will want to show brotherly love. We will want to be and simplify the things that Christ say. We prefer others before ourselves. All of that comes when we stay connected with the vine. And we will know, we have to examine ourselves, because God knows, even you see like a regular branch, when you see a leg on the side of a vine, and you may see a leaf that's on that vine, and you may see one of them, they don't start turning brown, they just die. But do you still see some of the other ones? Some of the other ones still green and blossom. That brown leaf is there because it don't got connected with something toxic. It don't got in contact with something toxic. And what happened there, whether it's something came to it or it got touched something else. And more likely something came to it, because long as it was the same thing we are, like we connected with Christ, we stand there. Something, people would come to you. Situations would come to you. Things would come to you, would try to contaminate you, could try to contaminate your relationship. So you'd be in a place that God would not answer your prayers. And they have you in a place that make you feel like, I wonder if I'm still saved. Or make you in a place you're saying, you praying, but you don't see no results. And you'll be saying, God, where are you? Knowing that the word says, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am here with you. That's what happens when we don't be connected with the vine. Stay connected, because I'm telling you, something will come to you to try to pull you away from the vine. And as soon as you come in contact with it, and if it stay there long enough, it's going to contaminate you. It's going to toxin you. And what happens? You're going to deteriorate. You're going to find yourself fall away from the vine. And because the Bible talks about it, you're going to fall off. And you look at another leaf. You look at a brown leaf and natural a leaf. This is on a branch, and it's brown. It don't take much. You touch, you're going to fall right on off. It's going to wither away. But that ain't what Christ wants for us, and that is not he respected us. That's why we got to stay connected to the vine. Not only that, so we could be a blessing to others. We'll get our prayers through, and we could be glorifying God. That's what it's all about, to get our prayers through. It is nothing like being a blessing for somebody else to be blessed. And when you even find yourself, and you can think about yourself going through hard times or problems, and somebody else might solicit your prayers, or you pray for somebody else, and you don't bless somebody else, it make you feel so good. So you forget about you, even your problem, what you thought was a problem. And it matters, we still be there. But guess what? You're not even affected by that. You are so glad that you was able to be a blessing to somebody else. You were so glad somebody, you was able to be connected to call someone else prayers to be answered. And that's what happens when we stay connected to the vine. When we get that miraculous power, that we're going to call that electrical power from the Holy Spirit to be able to come through us and be a blessing. And the last one I'm going to talk about also, that'll be talking about the prayer of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times, we don't know what to pray. We being human, sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes we could go through something so heavy, and either situation could be so overwhelming. And not even that, and it could just be something that sometimes we just don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray or what to pray. So what we do, we depend on the Holy Spirit. Always make room for the Holy Spirit to pray, because the Holy Spirit already know the heart is commune and entangled and all wrapped up in the heart of God. The Holy Spirit know what to pray when we don't know how to pray. We could just moan and groan, and this Holy Spirit could bear witness and bring that prayer through for us and be able to cause that prayer to be connected to what? The power source, because the Holy Spirit is the power source of God. It already know. That's why I always invite the Holy Spirit just to pray, to lead God. It's just to comfort us. And it's not that we want to be able just to think about ourselves, just to be selfish, and we want our prayers answered. But God, we just want to be a blessing. We want to do God's will. And all that's connected together about knowing the power of prayer. And it's so powerful. And I'm not going to say too much about other people in the Bible. I'm just use people, two people in the Bible off my head. I'm just thinking about Elijah. When he wanted the prayer, he prayed. He prayed for God that it didn't rain, that it didn't rain. And for 2.5 years, guess what? It didn't rain for 2.5 years. And that was his prayer. But guess what? Not only did his prayers were answered, but the whole, nation was in a drought for 2.5 years. Can you imagine 2.5 years that it's not raining here where you are, wherever you're living at? Can you imagine how the drought it'll be, how the plants and everything? So that's why we have to be careful with our prayers. And I'm just using him for an example. And he had his reason for why he prayed there. Your own personal prayer. Be thinking about when you make your prayer, don't be so selfish that you just praying just something for our own fleshly good. You know what I mean? Make sure that that prayer, because a lot of times our prayers, it affect us, individual, and the nation, whole could affect the whole nation, because God will answer your prayer. I'm telling you, he will answer people's prayers. But so we have to be very mindful of what we're praying about. Amen. And he's also about Hannah. She couldn't have children at first. She was barren, and she prayed to God. She stayed connected. She stayed connected. She stayed in that temple. She made a vow to God. Said, if you give me a man child, I'll get that child back to you. And guess what? She got that man child. God gave her what she asked for. And then after that, he didn't stop. He kept giving her. She had about 5 more other kids. I'm just saying, so be known with your prayer. It's good we can look in the Bible and look at the patriots of God, the people in the Bible, about when God answered their prayers. But that same God who answered their prayers, who was concerned about their situation, is that same God who will answer your prayers. Look what your situation is, what you want. He is no different. He is that same God. Situation looks different. People are different. But guess what? God answered his people's prayer, and he will do the same thing for you. Amen. So we just thank God for just giving us the revelation and some more input and things, tools that we could use to enhance our prayer life about understanding the power of prayer. We know it's not by just getting good gifts. We know how it affects us, and we know how important it is just to be in God's will. Want our prayers to be the prayers that God wants to answer, is going to answer, that he could be glorified in. Amen. So I pray that after this series, understanding the power, the privilege, the principles of prayers, that your prayer life will go a little higher and it'll be a little better, because God has given us this to use these tools for us to be closer to him. And I'm going to close out with even someone who maybe not connected to the vine. That means you might not be a born-again believer, but God is calling for you to be a born-again believer. He said, whoever's come unto me, I will no wise cast out. And repeat after me, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask you to save me. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I need you, God. And I want to be connected to that vine. I want to be in your family. Forgive me your sins. I know that God has raised Jesus from the dead. I know that you sit on the right hand of the Father. Receive me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. And God, we thank you right now for anybody who received that prayer, who prayed that prayer, that they are now a born-again believer, they are connected to the vine. And God, I ask you right now, God, to fill them with the Holy Spirit, get a power to be connected, to stay rooted and grounded in you, God. We thank you in advance that wants to take place, God. We thank you for your dominant power. And we thank you, God, for everyone, God, and for the opportunity to come before you, God, with this rhema word or how to understand the power of prayer. God, we love you. We praise you. Until we meet again, we want to say we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.